It's a blessing to be here tonight with the Hopewell Baptist Church. I feel like I know many of you. Some of you I've not met before. I look forward to maybe meeting you after the service. But as he was saying, our schools have played for many years. Miss DeBritt down there coached the volleyball. My wife was a volleyball coach as well. And then our basketball teams have played for years and years together. And I told her, I said, it feels weird going to preach at our rival's church, you know. But we're not rivals in the Lord's work here tonight, amen. It's good to be here on the same team, amen. And I hope your pastor has a good vacation. And I didn't expect to see Mrs. Ray, so now I'm really nervous tonight. But I want you to take your Bibles, turn to John chapter 2. John chapter 2. Thank you so much for all that your church does. And the men's meetings are always a blessing to our men that get to come each year. And I know what work it takes to have conferences. We've done a few. And just the little bit of work that it takes for those, I can't imagine on a larger scale, like the men's meetings. And then our ladies, they thoroughly enjoy the ladies' conference each year. That's a blessing. In fact, my wife tonight came. She needed to use the restroom, and she went right for the men's restroom. She's kind of caught off guard. She's not used to the place without all the decorations. I was mentioning to Brother DeBritz before the service, my wife, she said, I've never seen the church like this, not decorated before. And I said, well, I'm used to it, because when we come for the men's meeting, we're just here for the food. We're here for the food. We don't need the decorations. A couple things up here, that's fine. The preaching and the food is enough for us. But the ladies, they have all the decorations and the skits and this and that. But I'm looking forward to the next men's meeting. Brother DeBritz said he's got something in the works. So I don't know what that is. So somebody does. I don't know, maybe they're going to do a song and dance or something. That would definitely spice up the men's meeting for sure. Good to see Arden Robertson. Where's she at? Right over there. Arden and her husband served faithfully at our church for many years. Her husband was my dad's assistant pastor. She's known me since I was a little boy, so she could probably tell you some stories. But I'm thankful that she's been... Thank you. Hopefully I paid you enough. But I'm glad to see her here, faithfully serving here at this church and faithful here tonight. God bless her. John chapter 2, are you there? Let's look at the verse 10 verses there. Verse 11 verses. If you don't mind, let's stand out of reverence for God's word tonight. John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. The Bible says, "And the third day there was a marriage in the Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him." Let's bow our heads for prayer and ask God's blessing now on this message. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this opportunity to open your word. And Lord, every time I open your word, there's always something new and fresh that you have to show me. Lord, I pray tonight that you would just speak to the people's hearts. Many of them have had long days. Folks get up early and gone to work, and many of them have come straight here from their workplaces tonight to be a part of this Bible study, despite their pastor not being here. I pray that you'd please bless Pastor Ray as he's out of town. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to us. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you would work through this message. Give us something that we need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I was reading through this passage of Scripture, and I was thinking, boy, I wonder if they think that maybe I'm preaching on wine since I came to Napa tonight. But no, don't worry. You don't need to squirm. I won't be speaking on that. I'm sure Pastor Ray does plenty of that. Tonight, I want you to look at that verse 5 with me. Verse 5, the Bible says, "His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." To me, there is nothing worse than someone who has an attitude that something can't be done. I don't like when there's a job to be done and people start making excuses. Oh, we can't do this, we can't do that. And they just make excuses. I don't feel like there's room for that. There's no room, neither in the Christian life, when we see here in this story of Jesus turning the water into wine here at the marriage feast of Cana. He comes, Jesus' mother comes and expresses the issue here, and Jesus ends up performing a miracle. It was his first miracle that he performed. And what I notice here is that the mother of Jesus says, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Do it. The title of the message tonight is A Can-Do Attitude. A can-do attitude. We need to have that type of attitude. Notice that there was a need here. The need was for wine. But those in attendance really did not know what they really needed. It was Jesus who knew exactly what was going to happen that night. And he knew exactly the miracle that would be performed. And to God be the glory, he was able to use people just like you and me to do something great. And by the way, God is still just using normal people like you and me to do his work. To God be the glory for that. Mark chapter 10, verse 27, "And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible." Amen? Now listen. Your pastor, I can say this, I've known him for a long time, but your pastor is getting older. Don't tell him I said that, all right? But I will say this, his vision for souls is stronger than it's ever been before. If there's, you know, every time I've talked with Pastor Ray, he's always been telling me, oh, I was out soul winning, talking to people, winning people to the Lord. Praise God for that, amen? And you ought to be thankful for a pastor that's concerned for the souls of men and women, boys and girls, and is always outreaching people for the Lord. Amen? Amen? We need more pastors like that. And I'm thankful for the vision that he has had here for Napa, Napa County, and reaching the surrounding areas for reaching people for Christ. Now, your pastor needs this. And by the way, I believe he has a good group of people like this here. But your pastor needs people that are going to have a can-do attitude. Listen, when your pastor comes up and he says, hey, I've got a vision. We're going to do this for the Lord. God spoke to my heart. We're going to do this. He doesn't need people, oh, pastor, it can't be done. It's just not possible today. No, he doesn't need those type people. He needs some people to say, hey, pastor, if God's called you to do it, I'm behind you. I'm ready to go forward for Christ. Amen? A can-do attitude. Now, I want you to look with me at verse number 5. It says, "His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." Now, the first point I have for you tonight is we see the people whom God uses. We see the people to whom God uses. The Bible says that Mary here spoke to the servants. Spoke to the servants, amen? Now, that word servant is the same Greek word that we see for the word for deacons. Now, what is a deacon? A deacon is one who serves, amen? And praise God for the men that serve here in this church in the capacity of deacons. And that is exactly what we are to be. We are to be servants of the Lord. Servants that are ready to do whatsoever God has asked us to do. Now, a church needs ministry leaders. It needs staff members. It needs church members. It needs bus workers. It needs Sunday school teachers that are going to say, hey, pastor, it can be done. We're not going to make excuses, but it can be done. A can-do attitude is what we need. Now, God can't use people to do a great work for him who have a negative pessimistic, it can't be done type of attitude. God doesn't use people like that. He uses people that are says, hey, I'm willing to roll up my sleeves and get my hands dirty doing whatever it is, God, that you've called me to do. Amen?
Amen.
And your pastor needs people like that. Amen? I know sometimes it can be tempting. You know, like every church, I have church where it seems like you have a few people that do the work and a lot of other people stand around and watch. All right? But we need more people that are standing around watching to say, you know what? I'm going to jump in there and I'm going to roll up my sleeves and I'm going to help out too. Amen? And don't be one of those people that are just standing around wondering what's happening. No, we've got enough of those people. We need some people that are in there ready to work with a can-do attitude. Do you know what the job of the servant is? All of us are to be servants. Servants in the Lord's army. The job of the servant is very simple. To obey.
Right.
To obey. You say, what am I supposed to do? You're to obey the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
Hey, if God asks you to do something, you need to be willing to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Here am I, Lord. Send me. What is it that you want me to do? Hey, you ought to have that attitude before you open God's word. When you open God's word, hey, God, what is it that you want me to do today? Today. When the preacher stands up on Sunday or Sunday night or Wednesday night Bible study and the word of God is spoken and the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you ought to say, Holy Spirit, please show me what it is that you want me to do. Amen?
Amen.
Every time you leave church, you ought to make a decision. Amen?
That's
why I love the altar call. I think we ought to make decisions down here. I worry about when altar calls are given and people don't come. Folks, we need to decide that we're going to do something for God.
Amen.
I remember my dad used to say, there's two reasons you need to walk the aisle. Number one, if God speaks to you. Number two, if God doesn't speak to you. Amen? Hey, if God's not speaking, there might be a problem. Amen? And you better get down and figure out what that problem is. But we ought to have the attitude, Lord, speak to me. Now, if your attitude in church or when you read God's word is, well, I'm just going through the motions. We have enough people going through the motions. We need people that are going to say, I want to do something for God. And God notices those people. Here am I, Lord. As a pastor, I know some men and women who I can count on to get a job done. And I guarantee your pastor knows some people like that. I know there's some folks I can pick up the phone or I can send a text message and say, hey, this needs done down at the church. And I know they'll take care of it. Amen?
Amen.
But, oh, would God that I had more fit folks like that. And I can guarantee you Pastor Ray would love if this Sunday he had some folks come to him and say, hey, Pastor, what is it that needs done around here? I guarantee you he's got a long list of things that need taken care of. Amen? And if not, I guarantee he'd love to take you out soul winning with him. I've never been soul winning with Pastor Ray. I got to do that one of these days. That'd be an honor. But folks, listen, there's so much to do. Jesus is coming back soon, folks. We've got so much to do. And your area is a lot like my area. We've got millions of people here. Millions of people. We've got no time for somebody to sit idly by and says, well, I'll watch for somebody else to do it. We need everybody involved. A can-do attitude. Yes, we can look and go, oh, Napa and all the surrounding area, there's no way we could ever reach all these people. If that's your attitude, you won't. You won't. Hey, listen, look what God did with just a few in the Bible to turn the world upside down. Amen? And God can still do it today. Oh, it's a different day in 2020. I was speaking with some folks before church and talking about the bus ministry. And your bus ministry is probably a lot like my bus ministry. It's been struggling ever since 2020. But hey, until God tells me shut the thing down, we're going to keep going out. We're going to keep knocking on doors. We're going to keep running the buses. Amen? Until the Lord tells us otherwise. Because this last time I checked, the bus ministry still works. Amen? We got folks sitting in our pews every Sunday who were reached by the bus ministry. To God be the glory for it. But the bus ministry doesn't work in 2024. Well, if that's your attitude, it won't. Amen? A servant, ready to obey God, ready to do a job. Every pastor loves that type of person that'll say, hey, pastor, what is it? I don't care. Get my hands dirty, even better. Tell me what needs done. Amen? Now, we see people whom God uses. Verse 5, he uses servants. He uses servants. Number 2, we see the command that is given. Look with me at verse 5. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Do it. Whatsoever he tells you to do. Someone once said, the secret of getting things done is to act. You're not going to get anything done standing around saying, boy, we can do it. We can do it. Hey, we can do it. Well, you going to do something? Nope, but we can do it. Hey, that's not going to get anything done. Now, you can have a can-do attitude, but if you don't roll up your sleeves and start working, it ain't going to get done. You gotta do something, amen? He said, his mother said, whatsoever he telleth you to do, do it. Some years ago, Nike, the shoes Nike, they had a slogan. Many of you remember. You remember just what? Just do it. Yeah, you remember it, huh? Hey, whatever God asks you to do, let's have the same attitude. Just do it. Amen. We don't have to question God. God knows what he's doing. Amen. Well, I don't know if that's the best way to do that. If God told you to do it, it's the best way. Amen? Amen. Just do it. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Hey, you just decide wherever God's leading, whatever God's will is, I'm going to get behind it, I'm going to follow it, and I'm going to have a can-do attitude about it. Often the Lord, I believe, will not issue new commands to believers until they have first acted upon the commands that God has already given. Huh? And God's not going to give you some new commands if you've not even fulfilled the first commandment. You know, you've been saved and you haven't followed the Lord in believer's baptism. That's the first thing. Get in the water, get baptized. I have folks in my church for years, they don't do anything. And I'm like, you know, the problem is you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. That's the first step. And then after that, get busy going out, reaching other people, producing fruit. It's what we're called to do, amen? Amen. Winning souls. People, I'm introverted. I can't talk to people. You know, we're funny. We do what we want to do. Huh? Those same people, I've seen them at Warriors games and 49er games and Raider games. And the way they just, and then, well, pastor, I don't, you know, talk to people while soul winning, you know. We do what we want to do, huh? Got a young man in our church, and since he was a young boy, Miss Arden, you know who I'm talking about, Joshua Santos. Can't speak. But Joshua is a soul winner. He's a soul winner. He's a young man now, but he has, I don't remember what the name of the disease is, but basically he's 20, what is he, 23 years old, but he acts like he's 10. I mean, he has the funnest, he brings a sword to church, you know, and goes up to our visitors and pulls the sword out on them, you know. But let me tell you something. If a visitor comes to Arlington Baptist Church, he walks up to him with a tract. They don't know what to do but take it or get the sword, you know? Like that. He goes to the back of our church, and I have to be careful because he'll clear out all my tracks that I put in the track rack. But he goes in back and grabs all of our tracks from our track rack. And he takes them with him. And he recently moved, his family moved to Vallejo. So if you folks from the Vallejo area, he'll go to Chick-fil-A. And he goes around to the tables. Every time, people, you know, he can't talk, you know. But folks, if Joshua Santos can be a soul winner, anybody can, amen? A can-do attitude. You can stand around and say, oh yeah, it can be done. It can be done, Pastor, we can do it. But if you're not going to roll up your sleeves and get busy, it's not going to get done. We need some people that will stay committed in doing what God has already commanded them to do. Soul winning, fellowshipping with God, faithful in their tithing, faithful to the Lord's day. So I'm waiting for the Lord to call me. What does God want from my life? He wants you to read your Bible and pray every day. I'm waiting for Him to call me to preach. Well, if you can't even read your Bible, you're missing it, folks. God wants us to obey those simple commands before He gives us other ones. You know, sometimes our church will have missionaries come and they'll reach out to our church. And oftentimes we'll give them a report and ask them how they're doing. And how much time did you go out soul winning? Well, you know, an hour or two, you know. Folks, listen, if someone's not going to go soul winning here in the States, I'm not going to pay them money to go across the sea. Amen? Huh? Hey, but that goes for all of us. Amen? I think some pastors ought to get some reports from missionaries every once in a while. How much did you go out soul winning? That would be fun, huh? But hey, be faithful with what God has called you to do. Just do it. Number three, we see the degree of their performance. In verse 6 and 7, "And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water." Now, did Jesus tell them how much to put in here? He said, "I want you to fill them 3/4 full." No. "Fill them halfway." He said, "Fill them with water." But what does it say here? "And they filled them up to the brim." Amen? Hey, if God's called you to do something, do it to the best of your ability. Amen? Amen. Well, I'm going to do it. What's the minimum I have to do? How many hours of soul winning do I have to go on the bus route this week? Just tell me, is it 2 hours or 1 hour? I want to make sure I fulfill my obligation here. You know? I don't know if there's some Bible college students here or not, you know. When we were in Bible college, we had to fill out reports. How much did you go out soul winning? How much did you go out visit? Well, what's the minimum I have to do? Folks, if that's your attitude, we're never going to reach the world for Christ. Amen? Hey, the servants were asked by the Lord to fill the water pots. They didn't say, "Well, what's the minimum, Jesus? Just tell us." No, they said, "We're going to do it to the brim. We're going to fill it to the brim." Hey, what's the degree of your performance for the Lord? Amen? Amen? If God's called you to do something, do it your best. Amen? It's interesting to see here that the supplies to meet the needs that the Lord required of them was right there at their disposal. God is not going to ask you to do something that He has not equipped you for. Amen? Praise God for that. If God says, "Hey, I've got a work for you to do," well, I'm going to have a can-do attitude. Well, what do I use? Guess what? God has already provided what you need. He's prepared you for what you need. Amen? Hey, young man, if God calls you to preach, let me tell you something. He's been doing a work in you, preparing you for that day. Do it your best. God will not call you to do something He's not equipped you already for. Remember that. If God has called you to a task, He will qualify you to do that job. Amen? Listen, if anything's worth doing, I've always been told it's worth doing your best. Amen? I think we can see that starting from the youngest ages in school. You know, my wife teaches kindergarten. And the students sometimes will come and they'll be sloppy and, you know, maybe for the first few weeks of school, that's maybe acceptable. But there's a point where she's got to demand excellence. No, you can do better than this. You can do better than this. Work at this. And we need to do the same thing in our life. We need to ask, what am I doing for God? Can I do it better? Can I do it better? Is this truly my best? When we stand before God, are we going to be able to say, "Lord, I have done my best"? Or have we just done what was acceptable? Acceptable. The song does not go like this. Hear ye the master's call. Give me your average. For be it great or small, that is his test. Do then the least you can, and not much more. Not for the praise of God, but for reward. No, that's not how the song goes. We're to do our best for Jesus. Amen? The best. Is he not worthy of it? Yes, he is. He is worthy of our best. We have enough nominal Christians these days, enough average Christians these days. We need some servants of God that are going to do the best that they can. He is worthy of my best. The attitude you need to have when doing something is unto the Lord. Unto the Lord. That is the attitude we need to have. Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily. With all your heart. Amen? With all your heart. Are you giving? Can you, on Sunday night, lay your head down on your pillow and say, I gave my Sunday school my whole heart. I did. I mean, yeah, maybe a few people came and there was a lot of absences, but let me tell you something. Those few kids that were there, they had my best. My best. Can you do that? Can you lay your head this Sunday night and say, my bus route, I gave it my all on Saturday. Oh, not everybody came. There was a lot of excuses, a lot of kids out of school, and they slept in. They didn't come on Sunday. But let me tell you something, Lord, I gave it my best. I gave my whole heart on Saturday. Can you say that? That's all God wants. He wants your best. By the way, leave the results up to God. Amen? We're so results-oriented these days. That's not our business. That's God's business. Amen? Your job is just to do your best. Your job is just to fill the water pots up and to do it the best you can. And let God do the miracles. Amen? Let God do the great work. You just do your best. Then we see in verses 9 through 10, we see the reward. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, I like this next phrase, but the servants which drew the water knew. They said, they liked it. Hey, it tasted different, huh? I know the secret recipe. You do? Where was it? What vineyard was it? Was it Napa? Was it Napa? Is that where it was from? Italy. No, it was Italy. No, where was it from? Oh, no. Secret. The servants knew. Amen? Let me tell you something. When you do a great work, you don't have to pat yourself on the back because we know from whom the miracle is done. Amen? We could say, oh, to God be the glory, great things he has done. We see the reward for their action. Hey, the ruler of the feast didn't know what had happened. The governor didn't know what happened. The wedding guests didn't know what happened. Not even the disciples at first knew what happened. Oh, but those servants knew what happened. Jesus had performed a miracle in their midst. Why? Because of their obedience. They were just obedient servants. God said, I have a work for you to do. And they did the work to the best of their ability. And they had a can-do attitude. And boy, did God use them. Boy, they got to go home that night and say, hey, I didn't do the miracle, but God used me. God used me. Hey, what a blessing it is to be used of God. Do you want to be used of God tonight? Huh? Do you want to be used of God? You just be an obedient servant. God says, hey, I want you to do this. Your pastor says, God's given us a vision here, and this is what we're going to do. Yes, sir, pastor, I'm right behind you. I'm following after you. Amen. And then leave the results to God. Amen? You see, there are some servants that receive the reward for being of obedience to the Lord's commands. And verse number 10, he saith unto them, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. The beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. When you are obedient to God and do what God asks you to do, God not only blesses you, but he blesses those around you as well. Amen? Hey, you just be obedient to God. Your family is going to reap the benefits of that. Huh? I'm thankful that in 1993, my dad obeyed God's call to come out here to California from Mobile, Alabama, in 1993 to California, away from all of his family, to come out here. Because where would I be today? Would I be doing God's will? Hey, Mom and Dad, when you don't do the will of God, when you're not obedient to the will of God, guess what? It affects your children. It affects your children. Who will not be in God's will because you are not doing God's will for your life? Be obedient to God, and the blessings will trickle down to others as well. Hey, those who were there got to experience God's miracles because some servants were obedient to God. Do you want to see some miracles happen at this church? Do you want to see some miracles happen in your family's life? Do you want to see some miracles in your personal life? Then start obeying the Lord's command, and then you'll start to see the miracles take place all around you. Amen? I believe the miracle of Hopewell Baptist Church is because a man like Pastor Mike Ray has been obedient to God's call for all these years. How many years have you been here, Mrs. Ray? 37 years. Praise God. Amen? Have you ever felt like quitting? You ever felt like leaving? Every pastor has. But thank God that some people said, ain't going to be easy, but God called me to do it. I'm going to roll up my sleeves and I'm going to get dirty and I'm going to do the work God's called me to do. And your pastor needs more people like that. Amen? Some folks say, hey, pastor, whatever it is that needs done, it can be done. With God's help, we can do this. It's not enough to just have a can-do attitude. You can stand around and say, it can be done, it can be done, it can be done. But if you don't get busy, it won't happen. You've got to act. You've got to go. So I have a question for you tonight. Will you decide tonight, I'm going to have a can-do attitude from now on out? I believe there's many folks in here. I don't know all of you, but I've been around this ministry long enough, and I've seen many of your faces busy. I doubt there are very few people here that aren't doing something for God, and praise God for that. But are we doing our best? Can we do more? Can we lay our head down at night and say, I've given my whole heart? I don't know about you, but I can't say that all the time. I can't say, Lord, I have given you my all. Because, you know, I get tired. I get weary, like you. But I want to say, Lord, I'm trying my best. I don't always give you my best, but today I'm going to try to do my best.